of this radio station, its staff, management, or other sponsors. It's time for the Edge broadcast with your host, Daniel Ott. You can join Daniel and his guest as we discover the truth together. Within the continental U.S., call toll-free 1-800-996-9638 or click on the Fast Blast link on the Edge broadcast website. That's toll-free 1-800-996-9638 or click on the Fast Blast link on the Edge broadcast website. You can find out about our guests and topics by logging on to the Edge's website, theedgeam.com. That's theedgeam.com. And now here's your host for the Edge broadcast. Here's Daniel Ott.
John Austin.
Hello there.
Hey, Daniel Ott of the Edge Television Broadcast.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Daniel. Hello, everybody.
All right. Well, welcome to the program, John. We're going to be talking about some exciting subjects tonight. And, you know, this has to be a first for the Edge because we've had, and while zombies won't be our only topic tonight because you've got a lot to bring to the program, but this has got to be the first program that I've had to give advice for those that have become zombies.
Yeah, I definitely took some liberties with the theme zombies. Mm-hmm. Knowing that there's 6 billion people out there, and when the zombie virus finally hits, unfortunately a lot of us are going to be fighting for the other team, which mm-hmm. is Team Zombie. Mm-hmm. So I kind of wanted to have fun with that, and I did this whole handbook, which is So Now You're a Zombie, a handbook for the newly undead. That kind of goes through all the steps of what a zombie would face mm-hmm. in their 2 years of shambling around mm-hmm. looking for brains.
Mm-hmm. Looking for brains? Is that the zombie's favorite food, John?
Yes, exactly. I mean, a lot of people say that they don't need to consume brains, but I took some liberties with it, and mm-hmm. I kind of did some research, some medical research, saying that the brain is filled with all these specialized mm-hmm. cells, and when the zombie consumes them, it's like the Z virus, which is the zombie virus. It gets all excited, uh-huh. and from there, it increases its locomotion, and it helps them just function. You know, shambling, walking, grasping, clawing, spitting, whatever they
uh-huh.
do.
Uh-huh. Well, John, you know when you say you're taking liberties with the zombies, I'm kind of sensing, you know, taking liberties kind of sounds a little bit sexual there, man. I mean, you know, you not those kind of liberties, right? You're not talking about those kind of liberties.
No, not those kind of liberties. No, definitely not.
Okay.
You know,
oh, I mean, why not? Why not? I'm not saying it's wrong. I don't know. Who am I to judge?
No, we don't cover that chapter in the book.
That's not in there?
That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, okay.
just, you know, with pop culture, you know, there's all these mm-hmm. movies and, you know, zombie books and stuff. And mm-hmm. as we have mm-hmm. noticed in the movies, the zombie's evolving. You know, years ago in the old zombie movies, they're kind of just like walking through the woods and groaning. And now, mm-hmm. you know, newer movies like 28 Days Later and Zombieland, I mean, these guys are sprinting. They're jumping over cars. They're opening up door handles. They're carrying knives. I mean, pop culture has kind of taught us that the zombie's learning. It's mm-hmm. evolving, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. to a killing machine.
Mm-hmm. I would think that through the eons of time that zombies have honed their skills regarding survivability. But I noticed one of the things that I never thought of that I saw in some of your writings that the winner actually, you know, they'll drop some appendages. I mean, they freeze and then fall off. And is that what happens to them?
Well, in the winter, is that what you're asking, Daniel?
Yeah, I mean, in the wintertime, do they fall off?
The cold is definitely a weapon of the zombie. I mean, mm-hmm. they're definitely going to migrate to the south. You know, as your body's going through decomposition and stuff like that, mm-hmm. The cells can freeze, and when a cell, thaws out, it makes these ice crystals, and your body will pretty much be rendered useless. Mm-hmm. I mean, your mm-hmm. arms will fall off, and... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty brutal. The winter's pretty brutal for a zombie.
When a zombie loses an appendage, John, does he feel pain?
No, I mean that's its greatest strength for a zombie is it feels no pain. Mm-hmm. And actually, I mean, you know, like a lizard, sometimes like a tail will fall off and it'll still wiggle. In some known cases in zombie viruses, like the arms will still crawl. I mean, you've seen this in movies and in some books. But no, I mean, they're resilient to all pain. They're basically bulletproof from the neck down, which makes them, you know, extremely lethal. Yeah, I mean, they're amazing. So,
Is there going to be a time when the zombies, John, do you think they will gather together and rise up against the living?
Well, they're like a pack animal. They're stronger in groups. You know, they mob together. They use the different strengths of, you know, certain zombies. Some of them are faster, some are stronger, some are just big. They're you know, practically bulletproof. They're they protect everybody else in the mob. But yeah, they definitely will group together.
And I guess it's sort of a reaction too, because but let me ask you, when zombies gather to feed, are they normally like, say, piranhas? They start off, you know, there's some flesh or some human dinner there, and then one gets a taste of it, and then they'll come running. Is it like piranhas? They get into a frenzy?
Yeah, there's definitely no feeding etiquette. It's kind of each their own. They just kind of tear apart the body, and they go for whatever they need, you know, whatever they need to consume, whatever they can get a hold of. Yeah, it's quite gruesome and disgusting.
Yeah. Once a zombie loses a leg, obviously difficult to maneuver. How long does it take to grow back?
Oh, it actually does not grow back. There's no cellular regeneration for a zombie. It's similar to a human.
It's kind of sad.
Once you lose an appendage, you're going to be immobilized, and it's going to be very difficult to get your, you know, monthly absorption of human flesh, and eventually you'll just lose all mobility and just lay there and until you dry out.
Do you think that I mean, obviously, if they do lose appendage, then they would definitely qualify for the handicapped parking places at Walmart?
Oh, they could. Zombies can't drive. But if they just want to lay in the parking spot, they can definitely do that. I don't think anybody's going to fuss about that.
You know, there are cultures that believe that the undead walk through the night as armies or groups. Is that where some of the zombie lore comes from?
Definitely. I mean, approximately like it's like 1937, right around that area. There was these voodoo priests that were using potions made out of neurotoxins found in like pufferfish, and they're creating like this death-like state, and they're reawakening these people, and then the word zombie came from different tribes, kind of combining some words together. So, and then when we actually had service people down in Haiti at that time, they brought, you know, all these stories back, and it was just kind of really embraced by our culture, and then it's kind of flourished. So, it's very real.
All right.
So.
Okay, got a question. And the way the show rolls, John, is we get questions from the Fast Blast, which is an email client, and we also take questions from our scrolling chat, which I see has a number of questions now. And one of them is from Amanda. She wants to know, how often do zombies need to feed?
Well, there's this whole, in the book, there's this whole pyramid, this feeding pyramid. It's like preferable flesh, and it kind of talks about it. But we're kind of saying like around 3 pounds of brains per month. So
3 pounds.
If you can get your hands on 3 pounds. Now, if you can't, then you need 8 to 10 pounds of like internal organs and at least 8 quarts of blood. And this is just to keep your body from drying out. This is so you can last. The zombie life cycle, if you're not eating, I mean, if you watch movies like 28 Days Later and stuff like that, it's usually about 3 to 4 months. If you're consuming this flesh, you go up to 2 years, if not longer, depending on the virus type.
Okay. And we had a question here. It says, if a mummy zombie has a sex with a daddy zombie, would they create a zombaby?
That is a very good question. Now, there are three types of zombies. There's the supernatural, which is the mummy. Now, I don't know if they're referring to as mummy as in, like, pyramid mummy or just mummy and daddy. Then there's the disease living, which is also called, like, rage zombies. And that's a person that's infected with rabies, basically rabies on steroids. They're super upset. And then there's the walking dead, which you've died, your body's been reanimated, and now you're walking around without a heartbeat. Now, if you're disease living, and disease living mom plus disease living dad, you know, combined, I would say yes, there's definitely a disease living baby somewhere in there.
Hmm.
So I would say it's possible.
Okay. And here's a question from, again, from the live chat from MIC. It says, do zombies prey on teen runaways? You know, along those lines, John, you know, if you look on the back of a milk carton, you'll see where it says, you know, 150,000 children missing every year. Well, they can't possibly all be the victim of, say, parental squabbles and divorce situations. Some of these teenagers are completely disappearing off the grid. Are they being consumed by these zombies?
You know, that's an excellent point because when a zombie looks at brains, all brains taste the same. So why not start with those who put up less of a peak? And that would be these, you know, 16, 17-year-old teenagers. Don't go for the military. They have weapons. You know, firefighters have axes. You know, loggers have chainsaws. Martial arts have knives. So, yeah, go for the easy brain, mm-hmm. the easy kill.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it sounds like they can, you know, they've got some ability to survive for long periods of time. And that's good because, you know, we don't, you know, we want the best for them. But the question is how, and we're talking about, in fact, those that have been, that have become zombies, how is it? How do people become a zombie? Do they get bit by them? Is it a virus? Do they see a picture of Obama and turn into a zombie? What causes them to become a zombie?
Yes. Well, it's like being infected, and there's several ways you can be infected. It's basically openings in the body, like eye socket, ear canal, nasal opening, an injection of some kind, maybe experimental, open wound in the mouth. A lot of times it's, you know, it's just like blood splattering. These experimental viruses are cooked up in some laboratory, most probably by military because zombies are impervious to pain. They escape, you know, somebody sneaks out a petri dish or whatever. They're sneaking out in their folders. And guy gets infected, and next thing you know, he kisses his girlfriend. You know, girlfriend cuts her arm, and next thing you know, the whole city block is zombies. So,
It's kind of
an infection.
All right, so it spreads. Is there a way, say, like an anti-zombie suppository or some kind of topical medicine that one can take to prevent?
Once you're infected, you're 100% incurable. I mean, the human body is amazing. It has, you know, 1,000 miles of veins in it, and every minute, your blood goes through your body, you know, 3 times. It's something like that. I mean, it's just, so unless you can cut off an appendage within like 10 seconds of being bitten in your arm or your, you know, your thigh or something like that, you're pretty much a zombie.
Now, once you become a zombie, is there any way to not become, you know, not be a zombie, to get it out of your system, to something?
The only way is to be neutralized, and that's going to be losing your head, some kind of cerebral neutralization, cranial trauma. That's the only way out of the army of darkness.
Okay, is it? Once a person becomes a zombie, do they internally, do they have some uncontrollable desire to turn others into zombies?
Well, their mission is not to increase the numbers of zombies. It's to feed. And it's, mm-hmm. they're always hungry, but they don't feel it in their stomach. They feel it in their brain. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when they're recruiting new zombies, it's like, you know, they're adding people to the horde. It's by accident. Somebody, you know, tangles up with a zombie, gets scratched. That person goes back to the hiding spot. Next thing you know, it's like Bob's in the corner. He's foaming at his mouth. He's shaking. It's like, okay, what are we going to do with them? Before we know it, Bob's on top of Jill, and there's 6 more zombies. So the zombie's only mission is to go out there and take down the living, the breathing. It's not smart enough to strategize and add to the ranks of the zombie army.
So is it then once a zombie, always a zombie?
Exactly. Once a zombie, always a zombie.
Mm-hmm. Where do they rank in the food chain? Where do zombies rank in the food chain?
It's like I saw some food chain chart once, and zombies was on top. Zombies take out everything. I think the only thing that can kill a zombie is a robot. So until we have an army of robots, I think that we're pretty much screwed. But zombies on top, wild animals, and then, of course, you know, humans, wild animals, then it just kind of goes down. So.
Okay, excellent. All right, for those of you just joining the program, we are talking to John Austin, and we're talking about if you have become a zombie, how do you survive? I've got to say again that that's got to be one of the first ever, John, where, you know, because normally we here on the edge, we like to kill them or find different ways that we can stop the angry horde. But, you know, if your friends have become a zombie, then, you know, we want to bring them information that can help them survive. Is it possible that if zombie is a lack of food, say they're out in the wilderness somewhere and they're running with some other zombies, would they eat a fellow zombie's brain?
No, actually, once the zombie virus has infected the entire body, you lose your sense of a zombie body doesn't smell like a human. It doesn't smell like, you know, flesh and BO and all those fragrances and stuff like that. So it kind of repels other zombies. So no, it's zombie on zombie violence is very rare.
And that would be a terrible thing, zombie on zombie violence. And I think
it'd be good for the living, bad for the zombie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about zombie-on-zombie violence. There's been some laws trying to be put into effect by Congress to prevent zombie-on-zombie violence, and it's a very, very sad thing. But hopefully they'll learn how to live together peacefully. Now, where do zombies normally reside? Do they go to some grave, or do they go, you know, do they go to the White House? Where do they go to sleep? I mean, where do they hang out?
Yeah, that's a great question. Zombies actually do not need to sleep. Mm-hmm. Usually, you know, in a human sleep, it's kind of like your body's regenerating for the next day. A zombie doesn't need that. But a zombie is more of a nocturnal hunter. Mm-hmm. It's like during zombification, it's like the light receptors change. What's pitch black to like you or me is now a dim light to a zombie. Mm-hmm. It has a low light detection. So they prefer to go out at night. It's just easier. Mm-hmm. The human resistance is not as prepared. I mean, we're not equipped to fight in the night at all. Mm-hmm. So I would say that, you know, they slowly sham around the day, but they're going to be out at night mostly.
Mm-hmm. So I noticed that you just suggested that the living really isn't quite as smart as the zombie, because obviously the living do not prepare for the oncoming zombie horde. Is there a way to defend oneself? Let's say for the living out there, are they gonna? How can you stop a zombie? Now I know we're trying to help those that become zombies to survive, but you know, if they get hooked up with the living, there may be some sort of friction there, maybe some anger, some conflict there between the living, the living and the undead, or the dead, or
well,
whatever.
Yeah, I mean, the living is poorly prepared. I mean, if you kind of look at like that whole Orson Welles in 1938, you know, it's like the. The attack of aliens. Everybody thought it was real. I mean, they'll just assume it's a media hoax when they hear that The Walking Dead is attacking New York or it's taking over LA or whatever. And the skepticism will cripple their they won't be stocked up with food, ammunition. The windows won't be boarded up. So they'll be caught with their pants down, basically.
Okay, and then that gets back to zombie sex there. I mean, do zombies do it?
I would say absolutely not. They have no reason to. That part of their brain is completely wiped out. It's is deleted. The only thing they need to do is find the living. So
they don't. Besides that, say a male zombie may have certain appendages that just fall off.
If they tried it, or shot off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, if they tried it, obviously it would fall off and be stuck in a certain place, would they not?
Correct. It could be. I mean, I've never witnessed it, but anything is possible from what I've learned.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would think that in some way, zombies, you know, say like a female zombie, that'd almost be like a succubus demon type of thing, you know, if a human tried it. Because in some cases, I mean, you know, I would think that the zombies are unclothed. I mean, and in fact, who makes their clothes, John? I mean, if these guys are running around, are they, do their clothes deteriorate? Do they get new clothes? I mean, do they steal it from the living? Where are they getting?
Yeah, I mean, fashion no longer their priority, that's for sure. I mean, the clothes that you were infected in are now the clothes that you're gonna be basically wearing till your post-life is over, your zombie life is over. So they'll be reduced to rags and kind of hang off your body. So just dress comfortably, you know. Mm-hmm. If you think you're going to be infected by the zombie virus, you know, just put mm-hmm. shorts and T-shirt on. Mm-hmm. And then everything else is secondary.
All right. We have this question from the live chat. Is from Jade. It says, what if somebody is a vegetarian, then they become a zombie? Do they have to switch diets to brain food, or do they just die off?
I think that they would just die off, you know, mm-hmm. because... you know, maybe the Z virus, there's so many different types of the Z virus out there. And some of the Z viruses have actually cured blindness. I mean, humans that were blind, and often the Z virus was, they're infected by the Z virus, intercell communication begins again, and everything that kind of rebuilds and connects different mm-hmm. circuits. Mm-hmm. Now, somebody that's a preference to a they're a vegetarian, it's their preference. I would say that, they're probably going to only last for a couple of months.
Yeah. All right. Being a zombie. And again, we have this question. It says, how closely are ghouls related to the zombies?
That's a good question. I'm not even familiar with ghouls. I don't even know what the definition of a ghoul would be.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that they're very similar. I mean, they both seem like they're the creatures of the night. Mm-hmm. They're very unnatural. Mm-hmm. So I would say they're somewhere on the family tree, but probably not on the disease living supernatural walking mm-hmm. dead branch.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say they're somewhere on the right side.
Okay. Now I know the answer to this question, but being a good host that I am, I need to ask it for you. It says, can a bow and arrow kill a zombie?
Yes, definitely. There's the military has what's called like the deadly triangle. It's like mm-hmm. between the two eyes and it goes to your chin.
Mm-hmm.
It's also called the kill box.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that penetrates that area will knock out a zombie. Mm-hmm. Once the brain is pierced, damaged, lit on fire, whatever, the zombie falls down. So the kill box or deadly triangle, anything between that.
Okay. And, John, how did you get to the studies of zombies theirself? Have you been harassed by zombies, or is it particular? What's the particular interest that you have?
I think everybody's been harassed by zombies. I mean, mm-hmm. every year there's new zombie books, new zombie movies, and I just thought it'd be a great book to put together just because, like I said, you know, there's 6 billion people out there, and mm-hmm. when this happens, 75% of us are going to be zombies, if not dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just getting ready, you know, for that zombie consumer.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many books out there from the human point of view. Nobody's kind of like backtracked it and says, okay, if we need to understand our enemy, we need, you know, it's kind of like when you need to understand your enemy, it's like know everything about them and you'll be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy talks about everything that a zombie needs, or, you know, how a zombie stops a car, which is mm-hmm. awesome. It's like mm-hmm. different weapons that they face,
right.
You know, how a zombie uses a ladder. I mean, just like all these different ideas, and I just thought it was kind of neat to put this whole book together.
All right, and we have this question. Is there a such thing as a zombie-proof house?
Yes, I would say there is, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
In the book, we kind of show, like, two illustrations of, you know, what to look for. You know, if this house is completely boarded up and it says, we kill zombies on the garage door, there's probably definitely humans inside that house. Now, zombie-proof, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Survival-proof, I don't know. I mean, mm-hmm. if you have to stockpile canned foods for, you know, 2 to 3 years, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lot of food. I mean, mm-hmm. that's pallets worth. Water you have to stockpile.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely should not be turning on lights, shooting out your windows. Lay low. Let it pass. You know,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, Big Brother can't respond to everybody, so you're just going to be sitting in there for like 2 or 3 years, so
mm-hmm.
bring a deck of cards, is all I have to say.
Okay. Now, wouldn't one of the advantages of being a zombie, would you not be able to live forever?
Yeah, a zombie definitely has a life cycle.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to call it that, a post-life
mm-hmm.
cycle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you'd want to be a zombie forever, first of all. I mean, you're constantly, for 2 years, you're going around destroying stuff. You're on this huge
mm-hmm.
rage
mm-hmm.
attitude.
Mm-hmm.
There's only so many brains you can
mm-hmm.
eat before
mm-hmm.
you lose your appetite
mm-hmm.
of brains, I would think. So, yeah, I mean, they have a shelf life.
Okay. All right. Jade has this question. Is the government engineering a bioweapon to cause a zombie epidemic?
If they have reason to, I mean, eventually overpopulation,
mm-hmm.
there's only so much water out there. It's like, let's just shoot some zombie virus into the population. Half
mm-hmm.
of us will be gone.
Right.
And problem solved. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I would think there's if there's reason to, they would.
Mm-hmm. Now, many times in our discussions here on the Edge broadcast, we talk about the power of the Oregon blaster and different things, generators. I don't know if you've heard of Oregon, but can Oregon stop a zombie attack?
I'm actually not familiar with that. But,
okay.
Does it throw you on the bat? I mean, mm-hmm. what is it doing? Is it the well, radiation?
Well, it's something you buy on the internet. So, you know, I'm just saying, due to the topic here, nature of the topic here, I'm thinking that it might work. We're going to have to find out. Here's a question again from the live chat. It says, if a zombie attacks, is it best to stay in a group of unzombies? I guess that would be the living. Or is it best to go alone? What's the best way to fight these guys off?
Well, I would say the best way is not fighting at all. I would say mm-hmm. is just stay put. Mm-hmm. And if you are going to stay put, it's like surround yourself with people that you can stand for 2 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. And if you see like shows like The Big Brother and stuff like that, mm-hmm. then there's very few people that can last 2 months with somebody. So probably I would say solitude. Stay by yourself, uh-huh. you know. Uh-huh. And the fight, I would say, probably fighting in groups, but you're going to attract a bigger crowd. The more, you know, the more humans, the more zombies. That's just the way it works.
In the series, The Night Stalker with Darren McGavin, he said the best way to kill a zombie was to sew its mouth shut, or put salt in the zombie's mouth and sew its mouth shut. Is there any credence to that remedy?
Well, yeah. Well, I would say, yeah, eventually once they would consume flesh and they would die of, eventually their body would give out. Mm-hmm. But, acids definitely work. I don't know about salt, but you could throw acids on a zombie, mm-hmm. you know, flammable fluids, mm-hmm. light them on fire.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you just don't have to use the kill box. I mean, you don't have to shoot the guy in the head.
Yeah.
So,
well, it seems that if you set them on fire, you're just going to piss them off.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the only thing worse than a zombie is a zombie on fire because they don't feel any pain, and their mission is just to get to you. So if you lay them on fire 25 feet away, they're coming for you one way or another. They're going to run through the front door. They're going to light your house on fire. You know, your hideout is now burning. Now you have to run out the back door. And there's 20 more zombies out there. So mm-hmm. unless you're prepared for a zombie on fire, don't light a zombie on fire.
Well, now, that's one of the things that is strange. You said that their appendages don't grow back. So, I mean, wouldn't all you have to do is slice off the head so they wouldn't have the direction? They wouldn't.
Oh, once you slice off the head, you're done. I mean, that's one zombie down. But that's mm-hmm. also like 30,000 to go. So mm-hmm.
yeah.
If you want to stand in your front yard and slice them up with a sword, that's, you know, mm-hmm. you have to be careful, like, again, like the infection part, though, that mm-hmm. blood splatter mm-hmm. To the eyes, to the mouth, to the okay. open wound.
So, all right, so what? So. You're saying that zombies have a circulation system of some sort?
No, they don't. It's not necessarily, you know, it's like a human heart. If you last, mm-hmm. you cut the human heart properly while it's pumping, you can shoot like 30-some feet. I mean, it's pretty insane, the force. A zombie, it's more like a splatter. It's not mm-hmm. It's not like it's shooting. So if you mm-hmm. swing a knife blade, you mm-hmm. know, it's like you always get that, you know, that 10-foot area where there's like little specks of blood going everywhere. Mm-hmm. That's right. Kind of like, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
they can vomit. I mean, believe it or not, a lot of zombies use it as a weapon, vomiting, because mm-hmm. their vomit is toxic. I mean, their body is like a Swiss Army knife. They're full of all these different weapons, and one of them is close-range vomiting mm-hmm. from anywhere from 2 feet to 8 feet. So if you are within proximity of swinging a sword, mm-hmm. you could get toxic vomit to the face.
Mm-hmm. But again, I mean, if you take a machete and cut a zombie's head off, he can't really get you, can he? I mean, how does he zone
you're
in?
Right, he's got
like
done.
He's
on the ground.
He's down?
He's done.
Zombie down. We got
but,
zombie down.
They travel in mobs, you know, in packs. Mm-hmm. So and, one's down, okay. but there's always a couple
so,
more.
So what you're saying, and that is, there increases their survivability by the mob mentality that we can't get them all. And they're eventually going to break through our defense network.
Yeah, and they feel no emotion, too. So mm-hmm. if they see the first 10 guys go down, they're mm-hmm. going to just keep going at their one-and-a-half-second pace, you know, and they're going to just eventually get to you. They're relentless. I mean, that's their greatest asset.
Mm-hmm. Okay, they got some assets, eh? All right. And let's see what we got here. Do zombies reach higher levels of zombification That's a great question. Is it possible for regular folk to become zombified?
Well, the one thing about zombification, it does not discriminate based on age, race, size.
So there's no zombie discrimination. And we're against, we don't like discrimination here either, so that's good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's great about the zombies. Mm-hmm. Anybody can become a zombie, and, you know, it's within 20 seconds, all your body, you know, like I said, it's like thousands of miles of veins, you know, will be infected. So, it, you know, it doesn't discriminate.
Well, that sounds like the ultimate blood pathogen right there. I mean, one must protect oneself from the blood pathogens.
Well, yeah, a lot of times, like, your circulatory system is unaware of the virus, so it actually helps the virus, you know, go through the blood cycle. So,
so you've got to break the blood cycle in some way. Again, you're suggesting then that they have a respiratory, a circulatory system that will spray or splatter the blood on its victim.
They do early on in zombification. There's actually steps of it. You know, there's the infection step, the blood goes through the body, and then you get a high fever. And then it's there's vomiting, and then early brain mutation is the next step. Eventually, your body goes to paralysis, and this could take anywhere from, you know, 30 seconds to, you know, 4 or 5 hours. I mean, it all depends on the zombie virus. But then you go through a quick coma, your heart stops, and your body's reanimated. So when your body's reanimated, it just turns on the necessary systems. The Z virus turns on necessary systems to function, and your functions are all based on instinct. So if you want to grab something, now, it's instinct, you know.
Is a zombie instinct, is that sort of an evolutionary process there where over time they develop instinct after so many conflicts with the living?
Definitely. But the minute they're reanimated, like I said, they feel hungry in the brain. And they're not really sure what. And then, you know, their eyes change slightly. They can now sense, like, you know, motion, and they know that they can smell human flesh,
like,
so they're going for it.
We're talking about the word zombification. Could not one also become zombified if one were to watch, say, Oprah or President's speech? Is that another type of zombification?
Could be possible, I guess. That'd be more of the disease living though than The Walking Dead. I don't know if that can cause heart stoppage. But you could be infested with rage and have, you know, rabies-like symptoms when you turned off the television, and it could last for minutes, days, maybe even a year. I don't know. It depends what you're watching.
All right. And here's an interesting question from Skeptical Mind. It says, to you, John, it says, wouldn't the zombie stomach fill with rotten meat since their digestive system no longer functions?
Yeah, that's an awesome point. We actually cover that in the book. It's more like an absorption process than it is digestive process. So what happens is, if a zombie is in fact absorbing this rotten flesh, it has no, a zombie can't use it. So what happens is it eventually does blockage, and you get blowouts in the stomach. And you see this sometimes in the movies where these guys are walking around, these zombies, and they have all these blood all over their shirts, and it looks like their side of their stomach is blown out.
Right.
That's because of the stoppage. So, but once if you do ingest human flesh, and the Z virus extracts everything it needs out of it, it goes through a relaxed sphincter. So it could go either way.
Then again, is brain matter considered a meat? I mean, to me, it's more like a vegetable. It's like, am I right or what?
Well, within the, you know, you have to get it when it's still fresh. You can't get it when it's it's turned, whatever it turns. I think it's gray eventually. It comes out pink and turns gray eventually. But you have to get it within a certain amount of time. And once you consume that, it's, you know, you get that medulla rush. It's like your body goes through adrenaline bursts. And that's like in the movie, you see these guys running, you know, jumping through windows and stuff. That's because they just got a little brain in them. It's kind of like their drug.
Well, now, the consumption of brain matter really goes all the way back to the Egyptians. They believed that if they would eat the brains of their victims, and a lot of native tribes believed that as well, if they consumed the brains of their enemies, that they would get all of their knowledge and things. So was it, in fact, that they were actually zombies, and that's why they had desire to eat those brains?
It could be. I mean, it could very well be. I've never looked into that, but I'm kind of glad that that part of history is kind of is no longer relevant. I'm glad that's not on my menu.
Okay, and then we have this question here. It says, do zombies, do they actually teach each other more efficient ways to gather the human food?
Well, again, they're hunting, you know, cooperatively. They're mobbing together. Newly turned zombies can hear better. They can run faster. So they feed off of each other as far as their abilities. I would assume that zombie A opens up a doorknob, zombie B watches him, and zombie B knows I'll open up a doorknob. So, yeah, I would say they could definitely learn as a mob.
Well, we certainly don't want a zombie mob mentality, but here's an interesting question for you, John. Is it possible to domesticate a zombie, say, like a pet? Can you have a pet zombie?
Well, in Shaun and the Dead, they chained them up and they played video games with them, so yes, I think you could. I mean, you have to remember restraints, and you have to remember a zombie can only do what a zombie can do. So, they're not scientists.
So zombies.
I would say cooking, cleaning, you know, whatever. Yeah, I would say yes.
Well, I think they could be domesticated. I mean, you'd have to discipline them somehow. How do you discipline a zombie to carry out the mundane tasks without causing a zombie to say resist and to rebel against the human master?
Kind of like the whole care in front of the horse thing, you know, deprive them of brains. Unfortunately, where are you going to get the brains? I mean. But, you know, there might be zombies domesticated right now living amongst us, and we just don't know. I mean, they're that well interweaved into today's society that they just blend in, you know.
Well, and somebody points out they really can't run either, so you could actually, you know, sort of keep them on
you.
You
don't run them. You're right.
Okay, and we have this question from the UK. It says, have you ever personally seen a zombie?
I might have. Like I said, they're interwoven. Weaving into today's society. I mean, you're going down the subway, you see some guy, he's kind of got that small shamble, looks like he's been wearing the same clothes for days. You know, I would say he could definitely have been a zombie. I mean, you see these people once in a while, you know. Well, I don't know if they're bulletproof from the neck down, but, you know, their communication's poor, they lack mobility, you know, they have everything on the checklist.
Do zombies use cell phones?
No, I would say definitely not.
Okay, but so what is their main way of communicating?
Grunting and moaning.
Like a grunt?
Once they go through zombification, like I said, a lot of like the human systems have been shut down because the zombie doesn't need them. I mean, they're running on low levels of energy already. So all the communication's gone. So just, you know, basic grunts and moans and body language. Turn right. Well, that means there's something to the right. Turn left. We're going left. So, you know, body language is very important.
You know, in the natural world where anthropologist or a scientist or somebody would go out and say, study apes or animals of any kind, you know, they spend days out there, you know, watching them, see how they roll. Now, how did you gather information about the zombies? I mean, did you go out into the wilderness and try to lure zombies in so you could track
into
them and
the
write
urban,
a book?
The urban wilderness. I just kind of roamed the streets, made notes of people. Definitely that was one of the ways I was out and about in society. Another one was sitting in front of the television and watching countless hours of zombie movies. You know, just kind of learning the ins and outs of the zombie.
Here's a question from Jade. She wants to know, can zombies swim?
They cannot swim. They don't have that, the ability to, but, you know, a zombie body is not oxygen, you know, they don't need oxygen. So what they'll do is they'll just, you know, sink to the bottom. They'll walk the floor of wherever they are, you know, the lake floor, and eventually they'll walk out of it.
All right.
But,
okay. Now, Amanda wants to know, who was the first zombies? Where did the first zombie come from, John?
Well, they said in Haiti in 1937, these voodoo priests were experimenting with all these neurotoxins. But I kind of went back a little bit further than that, and I went kind of to the beginning of man, where, like, zombies and humans were kind of next to each other as far as evolution. Mm-hmm. And eventually, you know, humans overpowered the zombies, and the zombies kind of trailed off. But they just kind of been lingering in the back, you know, throughout the ages. And they've kind of been responsible about all these significant events in history, you know, for example, like, you know, like the Black Death or the Great Chicago Fire. Mm-hmm. That could have been a zombie. Mm-hmm. Take over Easter Island, mad cow disease, swine flu. So they've kind of been just lingering around in our past and even our present.
Mm-hmm. All right, we have this question. What happens if you stick the head of a zombie in a microwave oven?
Well, first of all, don't stay in the kitchen if you do that, because that would be suicide. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say it's going to blow up. I mean, nine times out of ten, it's going to blow up.
But
I'd say the microwave is going to blow up, too.
But the good news is, though, as you suggested, they don't reanimate.
Correct. Yeah, they're not going to rebuild their head after it blows up in a zillion parts, so you'll be okay about that. But your microwave is going to be useless, so no more chicken pot pies.
Mm-hmm. Chicken pot pies, because it reminds you of...
A minute and a half.
Okay. All right, we have this question from Philip in Georgia. It says, is there a hierarchy of zombies, you know, a leader?
Well, you know, in certain movies and pop culture, yeah, there have been. There are definitely zombies that exhibit leadership qualities.
That's what you're looking for. Yeah,
I would say.
So you're looking for the leadership qualities of the zombies and... you know, and what does it take to be a good leader?
Well, you need to prepare for the human uprising. Mm-hmm. So that means if there's a bunch of people in the house shooting out at you, you need to kind of coordinate a rear attack. And we kind of go through this through the book. We kind of show like a house and all the different ways you can enter the house. So it's like you need to tell somebody that they need to scale the chimney. You know, they need to go through the upstairs window, the garage window, the basement window. And, I mean, that would be a true leader would kind of groan and moan and tell these zombies to go do this. Mm-hmm. As far as a hierarchy in the zombie tree, supernaturals by far are superior to the disease living in a walking dead. Mm-hmm.
They're not gonna be walking when you chop one of their legs off, though. They're gonna be kind of limping in there.
They're gonna be crawling. They're just gonna be crawling around.
Mm-hmm. Again, I mean, you'll be able to dismember them piece by piece. It doesn't sound like they're that smart. A question from Ohio says, are zombies soulless, or are they reanimated, possessed by demons?
They're not reanimated, possessed by demons. Definitely not. Their body is controlled by a virus. You know, like I said, it's just rage. Hunger is their number one priority. Mm-hmm. Now, supernaturals could be possessed by demons, definitely. But disease living and walking dead, definitely not.
Why does the zombie rage?
I think they're just upset. They're upset that they're no longer human.
Do you think in some of their carnivorous eating habits, the consumption of human brains, are they in fact perhaps trying to grab the soul they think maybe resides in the brain and try to reanimate themselves into a living human form?
Definitely. That could definitely be going through their mind. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think that the rage is they just want human brains, and they're going to do whatever it takes. So that means punching through a wooden door. Mm-hmm. That means smashing through the front of a car. I mean, all these crazy things zombies do to get to you. I mean, that's just the rage. They just want to get to you, and they can't help it.
Mm-hmm. And somebody suggested, because you said that they actually communicate in sort of grunts and different things. So would it be that, say, the leader zombie would say, you know, say versus, say you got one going, and then you got another one going, like that. I mean, do they have sounds like that where you can identify the hierarchy of the commander zombie?
I would think that the leader of the zombies would definitely communicate more. I mean, they're the one moaning and groaning the most. And then you just I think you just have, if you're looking through your boarded windows of your house and you see that the one zombie telling all the other zombies what to do, and he's just standing there there, he or she's just staying there, and all the other zombies are kind of running around your house, and you hear them, like, climbing up the siding and breaking downstairs windows. Mm-hmm. Definitely take out the leader. If you've got a couple rounds in your gun, go for that deadly triangle.
And really, really, John, we're really walking a fine line tonight, because certainly we don't want to offend any zombies that maybe listen to the broadcast. And on the other hand, we do have the living among us, and in some cases they don't want to become zombified or the zombification process. So, you know, you can't really offend either group. You've got to give each group, you know, some information. And that's, is that in your book? I mean, does that help people, both the living and the dead, or is it mainly geared toward those that have become zombified?
Basically, it's 100% geared towards those people that have been zombified. Mm-hmm. There's a chapter in there, Understanding Your Enemy, that kind of outlines the human needs, mm-hmm. food, shelter, whatever, kind of goes through all that. But the great thing about zombies is we don't have to be that politically correct. I mean, that's one of the reasons zombies are so popular in pop culture right now, mm-hmm. is because mm-hmm. you can nuke them, shoot them, light them on fire. And at the end of the day, nobody's marching Capitol Hill complaining that zombies don't have rights or, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, whatever. So that's one of the great things about the zombie is nobody's going to send a letter to your congressman.
Well, I don't know, man. In my book, they really don't have rights. But you know what? I would think that then in Chicago, a lot of dead people actually vote. So I would think, based on the amount of dead people...
They do say that, too. You know that? I agree.
So, you know, I'm thinking there's...
They could be, you know, shambling in there, just kind of, like, checking yes or no and just walking out. And
so we've got to applaud the zombies for their joining into the political in the political process, trying to make things happen. And really, that's what it ought to be.
And they're collecting Social Security, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're doing with all that money.
What would... and, of course, a lot of zombies collecting Social Security, and that's good, too.
So pensions and everything else.
Yeah, a lot of benefits there. You're getting kickbacks of all kinds. I mean, somebody's got them in their corner. A couple more zombie questions. We were getting near the top of the hour. So here's a real good question. Do zombies drink beer? Would Guinness be one of their favorite beer? What kind of beer would they drink?
Guinness is a nice dark beer, but zombies actually kind of they avoid intoxicating humans mm-hmm. for the simple reason is because, well, first they'll give them hiccups, and then they are easy prey, which is great.
Yeah.
But it's when they take in this intoxicated human flesh, it has a real big kick, and it could cause dizziness and all these other symptoms.
Well, what if a zombie ate an intoxicated human brain? Would it then become intoxicated?
Definitely. I mean, the virus would definitely get some of the symptoms, mm-hmm. Dizziness and mm-hmm. slurring of speech mm-hmm. and, you know, drunk phone calls mm-hmm. and everything else that...
Well, I guess somebody's pointing out at least one good thing is that the zombies wouldn't consume a lot of Obamacare because... certainly, they would need to have routine examinations. I mean, if they did have, say, examinations, would they look for, say, becoming human infection? I mean, is that something that they try to prevent?
Well, I think it's like, you know, he'd walk into his urgent care, notice that he does not have a heartbeat, but he's still functioning.
Yeah.
They diagnose him with zombification, mm-hmm. and he walks mm-hmm. out. That's the only, you know, it's 5 minutes. It'd be perfect. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be quick, and it's like... Mm-hmm. You probably got 2.5 years to live. Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. post-life anyway.
Okay. All right. Well, we are coming up to the top of the hour, and I'm going to put up on the screen your website, which has a bunch of books. Okay. And I think maybe, John, you may want to talk about some of the others. Let me get you up here. And why don't you tell the folks about your website address and some of the other books that you're writing?
Yeah. The website is johnaustinbooks.com. And on there, there's a couple different books that I've done. I used to be a senior toy designer for Hasbro Toys, which was awesome. G.I. Joe, Transformers, Iron Man, a lot of the cool boys' toys that you'd find in the boys' aisle. And I actually still do a lot of toy design as a freelancer, contract employee. But some of these books that I have on there, the zombie book is doing really well, but another one that's doing really well is called Mini Weapons of Mass Destruction. Mm-hmm. Like you build implements of spitball warfare. So it's like this book has 40 different fully illustrated instructions how to take stuff you'd find in your office desk drawer or mm-hmm. you know that junk drawer in your kitchen, and you can build catapults and combustion shooters and mm-hmm. Little rubber band guns and mm-hmm. all types of micro-weapons that kind of relate to, I would say, like their real-life counterparts, you know, the big brothers, you know, giant siege catapults and trebuchets. And so that book came out 2 years ago, and we're doing a follow-up book that's coming out this this fall. It's called What's Up Mini Weapons Again, Let's Build Secret Agent Arsenal. So it's like catapults that are hidden inside, you know, candy tins and little candy guns you can build. And it's just like all these like secret agent weapons you can build out of garbage you'd normally toss. So it's, the model's kind of like recycle, reload. So,
Oh, and just a quick follow-up on the on the zombie thing. Didn't the government agency give the information on their website how to survive a zombie attack?
Yeah, it actually crashed their website. It was like is the number one, I forget the statistics on it, but that was about a month ago that they were just kind of fooling around. They put that on there. It was the most visits they've ever had, which is quite a, you know, it's rather.
Was it the Centers for Disease Control website?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Okay. It's kind of amusing, though, that that was the number one hit. But, yeah, it crashed their website. So, I mean, people are ready. I mean, they know it's out there, and they know it's going to happen. Well, we'll just see who's prepared.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of these mini weapons that you write about, John. I mean, is the mini weapons, is that like small weapons of mass destruction? I mean, is it enough to prevent?
Yeah, it's exactly like that.
Okay. Well, all right then.
So
well,
I'm just kind of, the chapters are like, you know, small launchers where you can build like a little BB pencil, which is like, you know, a little BB that you put in a BB gun and a pencil and a rubber band. And it takes like, you know, it takes a couple minutes. And a lot of these you can build out of pennies, and they're great group builds because they're so inexpensive. And I've had teachers email me and say, hey, you know, this is great. And one of my kids stole the book. So, or I've had parents email me. It's like, my kid brought this to school, and now he's 3 days suspension, you know, kind of stuff like that. So, I mean, they're finding their way into a lot of kids' hands, and they're having a great time with it. But they're being safe doing it.
Is the weapons, are these homemade weapons that you tell people how to build?
Yeah, it is. And it's like, when I say weapons, it's I mean, there's nothing in this book that causes you serious harm. I mean, of course, any project you do at home, with an X-Acto hot glue gun, you couldn't get hurt. But these are like little catapults you can build on a clothespin, a popsicle stick, and a bottle cap. I mean, and they can shoot 5 feet, a penny 5 feet. And there's some like a little mini spun spit, which is a kind of a small representation of a spud gun, which years ago was like super popular to shoot a spud gun, you know, like 70 yards. Well, this is one you build out of like a film canister and a big pen. They can shoot a spitball, you know, 15 feet.
Now, are these the type of weapons that one would need when, say, Planet X or something comes flying through the atmosphere or aliens attack? I mean, is when society breaks down, are we going to need to be able to design and create our own weapons?
Definitely. It's infrastructure will be decimated. You know, people will not be making ammunition anymore. Guns will be hard to get. We're going to have to come, you know, we're going to have to kind of cobble up whatever we have and kind of manufacture life-saving weapons. You know, if that's spears or some of these mini launchers, and it all depends on the scale of the invasion, too, or the scale of the actual aliens. You know, if these guys are only like a foot and a half tall, we could totally take them up with some of this stuff. So, I mean, a lot of times, and we see in pop culture, it's like a lot of these aliens are human size, if not larger, but I mean, who's to say that they're not going to land and they'll be 6 inches tall? We just take them out with spud guns and spitball launchers. So,
Wait, did you just say spitball launcher?
Yeah, spitball launcher.
And who are you going to kill with that? I must have missed that.
You're going to grow somebody the spitballs?
Unless grossing somebody out and kill them.
People would die from toasters. Everything's lethal out there. It all depends how you use it.
If you put toaster in a pillow. A pillow sack and then hit him with it. Yeah, it could be lethal, but you know, I mean,
you know, if you put a zombie head in a microwave and you turn it on, that could be lethal too. So I mean, it all depends on what you're adding and what you're doing with it.
So if we're going to create weapons, miniature weapons of would you? I guess you really couldn't say mass destruction. It would be
a mini destruction.
Mini destruction. Okay. Now, do people store these weapons in their house, or should they have, say, an alternative like a real gun, or you're thinking like a spitball gun might just actually do all the damage one needs to do?
There's guns everywhere. This is America. Mm-hmm. But I would think there's a great project in the book that's called Concealing Book. It's like you hollow out the inside of an old textbook. Mm-hmm. You can conceal them in there. I mean, you can hide them in there. So, yeah, there's definitely, because these are mini weapons, they don't take up a lot of space. Mm-hmm. If you're, you know, you're held up in your house. So, yeah, you can store them in your house.
You can
put them with everything else.
Is Kung Fu considered a mini weapon?
Oh, Kung Fu, definitely. Mm-hmm. It's not in this book, but mm-hmm. I would think Kung Fu is a mini weapon.
Mm-hmm. And what particular weapon would you suggest for somebody to build to take out, say, a gray alien or an insectoid?
Well, there's crossbows in here, and these crossbows shoot kitchen skewers, mm-hmm. things that you use to make, you know, shish kebab, mm-hmm. if I'm pronouncing that right. But, yeah, I mean, they fly at an incredible rate of velocity, and they, you know, they can puncture a cardboard box at 15 feet, no problem. Uh-huh. So if these aliens, insecticides, have soft skin and their hearts or whatever they're using to control their bodies are easily exposed, yeah, you could totally take out one, no problem.
Uh-huh. Okay. And how many weapons in your book do you give people instructions on how to build?
There's 40 of them. So kind of, it's like bows and arrows, darts, catapults, little combustion shooters. Uh-huh. There's all different types of launchers.
John, I'm still having a hard time reconciling a spitball weapon taking out somebody. I mean, if you hit a zombie in the eye.
You go for the eyes, uh-huh. and once they're blinded, you can do whatever you want. Then you break out that kung fu you've been talking about. Uh-huh. But, it's all about the aim. Go for the eyes. Two spitballs, two eyes. They're down.
Okay. Now, we have a question. This is back to the zombies. It says, are zombies attracted to a political ambition? I mean, would they like to run the country?
I would say, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
What would the nation look like being run by zombies?
Oh, it'd be horrible. But yeah, they don't care. They're zombies. Mm-hmm. I mean,
well, what's their political agenda?
Transportation be shut down. It's like it would just be incredibly inconvenient for us.
Well, what's their political agenda? They just like being in power, or they
They probably don't have one, and that's why they'll be so popular. People will vote for them. I'm not doing anything. They got my vote. You know, that's how people are. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be crazy. Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't know what their political agenda would be actually.
In the background right now, I have a picture of Rob Zombie. Is he a real zombie?
He could be. You know,
I mean,
he
kind of
looked the same for the last 20 years. I don't think he's aging anymore. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. He actually looks like he's falling apart.
Okay, but he's got these like white eyeball looking things. I mean,
your eyes change, your retina, because like I said, you can now like low levels of light. It's kind of like an owl.
Well,
when you go through modification, your rods increase.
Is a Undertaker on the WWF? Is he a zombie?
I would say yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Why not? He could be a zombie. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they're everywhere.
Okay, and if you have a bunch of them come to your door and they knock on there, is it like trick or treat? Is it like Halloween? If you give them, say, like a Snickers bar, would they go away? Or are they going to say, you know, that ain't going to cut it, give us a brain? I mean, you know, can you trick them?
Once in a while, people knock at my door and they kind of moan and they groan, and I just shut the door. Mm-hmm. It's like, what are they asking for? Mm-hmm. I don't understand. It's like, you're wasting my time. You're not selling me anything. You're kind of looking at me funny, and why are you missing all your arms? You know.
Now, I have seen zombie movies where, like, when you take the legs off, they still come at you. They're, like, crawling and stuff. But it sounds like what you said in the first hour, John, is that if you dismember them, then they're not going to be able to attack you as reticent as with the full body.
Well, mobility definitely goes down, but they're relentless. Take off their arms. Mm-hmm. They're just going to run around until they fall down, and then they're not going to be able to get back up. Well, it'll be very difficult. Take off their legs, they're just going to crawl. They're going to keep crawling. So They won't be as lethal as a running zombie with, you know, full appendages, but
they want you. But if you have, if you're attacked in a pack of zombies, or is it called a pod of zombies? I'm not exactly sure. But
A zombie mob.
Like, now, if only one gets the brain? Do the others, are they satisfied with the arms and the legs, or do they fight over the brain?
Well, according to the zombie food pyramid, you know, they need consumption, so they can use that flesh, and then they're just going to keep hunting. They're going to keep looking for their own brain. That's the way it works, unfortunately. There's not enough to go around.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the New Orleans area, there's black magic, white magic, Roman Catholicism.
It's very popular down there. Yeah.
And they certainly believe in zombies, so it's not like people don't believe in it. It seemed like there was a movie a long time ago about some pharmaceutical company that sent a guy down to get a zombie drug. He turned into a zombie. I guess they buried him alive or something. But so in the New Orleans area of white and black magic and all that mixed in together, are they creating zombies down there?
They could be. I mean, it's definitely a secret society. Mm-hmm. Like you said, if somebody comes in there unknown, they turn you into a zombie. The guy goes missing. I would definitely think that there's some practices down there that people are definitely not aware of. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is, you know, a lot of that religion came out of Haiti, and, you know, that Haiti's, you know, you go straight up and you're in that area. So, I mean, that's why it's so popular right there.
Do werewolf get along with zombies, or are they more enemies?
Well, Daniel, that's a great point, because there's actually something out there called the were-zombie, which is a little bit further down the family tree, but there's some cross-pollinating going there. But zombies and werewolves definitely do not get along. Yeah, they're just like vampires, werewolves. No, they're kind of all their independent.
Did you just say were zombies?
Yeah, were zombies. Undead werewolves. I mean, they exist. They could. If a werewolf is infected by a zombie, it could definitely be a walking dead werewolf.
Okay. Not? All right. Well, if a zombie walks into a bar. No, let's don't go with that one.
Yeah.
Let's try this one. If you had a battle between a zombie, a vampire, and a werewolf, who would win?
I think majority would say vampire. I mean, a vampire.
And what is it?
So crafty.
What's his advantage? What's the vampire advantage over a werewolf and a zombie?
The ability to use weapons. Definitely, and I think that a werewolf, I mean, a vampire would be smart enough to keep, you know, a far enough distance from a zombie, because they're going to be aware of their enemy. But, I mean, there's some great movies out there where they got werewolves versus
if a vampire bit a zombie, would the zombie turn into a zompire?
Yeah, I think it would, definitely. All depends on the virus strain. I mean, there's so many different Z strains out there that it could definitely infect a vampire, and that would be a serious vampire.
If somebody had superpowers and they became a zombie, would they be able to keep their superpowers?
That's actually a great, great question. I don't know about that one. I mean, I guess it all depends, again, the zombie strain.
Dude.
I mean, if it completely wipes out your whole brain during reanimation and you're born again, I would say no. But if it for some reason keeps your strength ability, yeah, definitely. I mean, Superman zombie, awesome. That's a great concept.
Okay, and here's a question. What do zombies wear? Do they have a particular clothesline? Yeah. Do they like, Calvin
Shades
Klein?
Gray and olive green. It just seems like they're always wearing shades of gray, and they're always torn. I mean, they're
a pair of khakis or whatnot.
Very trendy like that.
So you're saying that zombies are style conscious.
Well, we kind of talked about this a little bit before. It's kind of whatever you're infected in. So dress comfortably, but it always, you know, it's usually ties and shades of gray.
I don't think you. Well, maybe you would find the zombies on a show called What Not to Wear. I think they certainly need some improvement in their wardrobe. A lot of times they're tattered and brain splattered. fecal matters.
And TV loves drama. They love rage. The doctor comes on there, wrecks the set, ratings go up. That's it. We're only having zombies on now.
What is the science of the virus that becomes the person becomes a zombie? Is it infection? Is it what's in there? Is it the DNA strand changed or what? Is our genes being added? What is causing this transformation?
Well, the zombie virus, it's like the actual virus. It's like this armored capsid. It's like capable of fending off like 100% antiviral drugs, most likely developed by human science, you know, like experimenting with military and whatnot. But what the actual genetic makeup is, it varies. But, you know, once, just like any other virus, once it attacks the cell, it replicates, it breaks open the cell, and then it infects. So.
And what is the infection period?
Well, it varies again, but it could only take minutes. And during the zombification process, you know, some people, they get bit and within like 2 minutes they're zombies. And other times they go through this whole procedure of like sweating and vomiting and fainting.
Nasty.
And then it's like 4 hours later they're a zombie.
Now we talked about if a vampire bit a zombie, but what if a werewolf bit a zombie? Would he become a, well, I mean, is that how you get to become a
werezombie? Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Would.
Okay. All right. What if then a zombie bit a vampire? How about that? What do you become?
Zombie bites a vampire.
Yeah.
Vampire becomes a zombie. Vampire probably kills the zombie before it finishes zombification. So as the body's like being infected and it's going through the vampires, the vampire's going to be upset that he just got bit. So he's probably going to kill that zombie anyway. So in all these scenarios,
a lot of different combos, but what you don't want these three guys hooking up.
Definitely not.
I mean, if you're human and you're alive, you know,
it'd be a mess.
You've got to know who your enemy is. So I mean, if you got a vampire knocking on the door or coming through the door, I guess, and then a werewolf busting down the door, and then of course zombies. Once the door is open, they're coming in. It's going to be a bad deal for a humanoid.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I hope that's what we
need to arm ourselves. Get ready for it.
Okay. And then here's a question for you: do zombies affiliate with aliens? I mean, do they communicate with them? Would they like to ride on their spaceships? You know, what's the basic
alien landing, meeting with zombies? That'd be the aliens' worst case scenario because, aliens get infected by a zombie. Aliens go back to mothership. Mothership goes back to planet. Planet's wiped out.
We don't want that. Okay, so boom. I mean, you're talking about like a 1, 2, 3, boom. Planet's done. What about where do Bigfoots fit into this? Is Bigfoot connected to? Is he just a large hairy zombie?
I think Bigfoot wants nothing to do with zombies, werewolves, vampires, were-vampires, aliens. You know, werewolves, they just want to hide behind trees and they just want to keep. Mm-hmm. They want to stay in the woods. They don't want anything to do with this.
But if say like you're on board a spaceship and you're a zombie and you're in a battle with a gray or whatever, if they put you in the ejection pod, send you in out of space, you could survive in space because zombies don't breathe.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely, for years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and there's been some science fiction movies that have been awesome about that. It's like. Zombies in space, you know, they're out there.
All right. And, John, we mentioned the minigun, and we mentioned we've been talking about the zombies. Now, what other books have you written about?
Okay, I got that. The mini weapons book. And then I did, when I was still a toy designer at Hasbro, I did this Prank University, which is like this illustrated guide to college pranks. I followed that up with Cubicle Warfare, which is like an illustrated guide to office pranks.
Okay, all right. Give me a prank. Give me your best prank. What's going on?
Well, I don't know about my best, but there's some of them are like Martha Stewart pranks, where it's like you hollow out the bottom of a cup, you fill it with tons of like BBs, you slide in front of a keyboard, guy picks it up, and it's an instant mess on the floor. You know, it's like there's sabotaging computers, there's there's all types of stuff in there. I mean, it's really step by step. There's some pretty great stuff in there, though. But yeah, there's hundreds of different office pranks.
So
in there.
the kind of pranks you're talking about, you're not talking about, say, putting shaving cream in a guy's shoe, right?
Well, some of those, you know, it all depends on the category. Some of those are more college. It all, you know, there's college pranks and there's office pranks. Mm-hmm. A lot of college pranks involve alcohol. Mm-hmm. And if you bring those into the office, it'll probably keep you fired. And a lot of office pranks, if you do them in college, mm-hmm. They're just not as cool. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like using, you know, abusing the supply room, you know, mm-hmm. rubber banding somebody's flat screen monitor with like 150 rubber bands. You know, that's more of an office prank. Just all different types of stuff you can do with office mm-hmm. supplies and mm-hmm. duct tape. And there's some shaving cream ones in here, definitely. The shaving cream example. You can freeze a can of shaving cream in the freezer. Uh-huh. You wait till it's completely frozen. You take a bottle opener, a can opener, you open the bottom, you stick it in the guy's desk drawer. Uh-huh. Well, eventually when that warms up, it's going to expand, and it's going to completely fill up the desk drawer. I mean, it's a huge mess, but, if you don't know the guy, it's very malicious, but, uh-huh. or girl, but, uh-huh. you know, if you know these people, it could be humorous.
Okay. All right.
It all depends if they have a case of the Mondays or not.
All right. Give me a girl prank. What were you going to pull on a girl?
Girl one? Well, there's one in here where, I don't know if it's for a girl, but it's, you sit down, it's like you build this, well, here, let me give you another one here.
Oh.
That one's going to be a little involved.
Okay.
Okay. There's one where you take a clear tube and you tape it at the bottom of the guy's or a girl's desk.
Okay.
And you run underneath the cubicle wall to the other side of the cubicle, and there you are sitting on the floor, and you have a mouth full of water. Well, when you hear the person sit down, you take the tube to your mouth, and you blow it, goes underneath the cubicle, and goes, you know, underneath the desk, and goes all over the person's lap. I know it sounds very childish, mm-hmm. but it is a prank, so mm-hmm. it can be somewhat childish.
And John, are you seeing somebody now, or... I'm actually
married. So
have you pulled in these pranks on your wife?
No, that's why I'm still married. It's like
if you did, then that would be it.
I'd be in the doghouse and then I'd be on the front lawn. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I'd be on the front lawn, pulling up my stereo, playing our first date song, and trying to get back in the house. But.
Okay, now I'm looking at your website there, and it says hunt, fight, feed. Now, what's the fight about? I mean, who are they fighting?
Well, like defending, but a human is not going to sit down and let you eat his brains. You're going to have to fight him for it. I mean, they're going to put up a fight. So that's the clawing and spitting and scratching, and everything else is obviously going to do the claws away to your help. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said before, they have a Swiss Army knife of, you know, weapons. You know, they bite, they vomit, they blood splatter, they can hit, they can claw, they're dripping mm-hmm. blood, they're mm-hmm. trampling.
Yeah.
These are all things they're going to use to get to you.
Yeah. And somebody in the live chat says that you are like them. You don't appear to get out much. Is that true, John?
Well, these books don't write themselves. I got to sit here and work on them, for God's sakes.
Uh-huh. Somebody's got to write this crap, right?
No, I have to go grocery shopping.
Uh-huh. So if a zombie has a cold, he's going to blow some really nasty stuff on you, isn't he?
Well, exactly. Mm-hmm. Eventually, it's like their nasal passage will clog up
uh-huh.
and vomit because it's they'll reject whatever's going mm-hmm. into their body mm-hmm. if it's not flesh.
Did the Germans try to grow or create zombies to increase their army in World War II?
I'm sure they tried it. I mean, Germans tried to do all this crazy stuff. They're experimenting, which is horrible, but they were doing all this crazy stuff over there. So, mm-hmm. yeah, and maybe some of those zombies we see today, you know, they're left over mm-hmm. from World War II experimentations that mm-hmm. we see, you know, mm-hmm. milling about on the streets.
Mm-hmm. Now, somebody, we were talking about the mothership just a minute ago, but somebody suggested that if you freeze a zombie, that you could literally fire them from one ship to another, sort of like a cannonball, and bust a hole into the hull of the other opposing alien ship. Is that possible, John?
Zombie warheads, definitely. I would think that we can make that work.
Okay.
Why not? We could shoot them up in space.
I mean, I got to say, that's about as original as it comes.
You know, I'm sure we could figure it out, you know. Some government funding, about, $20 billion later, we can shoot a zombie missile up into space.
If a zombie is can a zombie get constipated by eating too many brains or say, sour brains?
We were talking about this before. It's essentially you get your stomach buildup and you get the gastro blowout of the side of the stomach. And, your mobility will definitely go down. You have, 120 pounds of flesh, filling your body. You're just not going to be as fast. It's going to, it's not going to help.
If a zombie, say you cut his leg off or whatever, could he take another zombie leg and sew it on him so he can walk again?
He could try to do it, but it's definitely not going to work. Appearance-wise, it'll look great. I mean, he'll blend right in. Mm-hmm. But I think he's going to have a limp, a pretty serious limp.
But he could use another alien's leg or another zombie's leg.
I think he's just going to kind of hold up, No, I just think it's going to fill his pants. Mm-hmm. You could say that.
All right. Is there any other topic, John, that we've not talked about at this point that you've written about?
I've got some more mini weapons books coming out, so definitely check those out. They're coming out in, like I said, fall and spring. We've got two more coming out, and they're great. So, believe it or not, Japan just bought the zombie book, too, so that's coming out in Japan, so that's kind of cool. So, just,
Are you saying the Japanese have an affinity for zombies?
Yeah, I think they do. The books, right now, it's being translated, and it's going to be out on store shelves over in Japan soon.
But now, I'm just saying, they've had some pretty bad times over there, and they might be
anticipating something, definitely.
Well, there may be anticipation, but it seems to me they've got tens of thousands of missing people there. I mean, is it perhaps that the zombies are already over there, that they heard there was a catastrophe and they're going to get an easy snack?
It's definitely a great plot to a book or a movie. I mean, there's definitely some stuff going on with the radiation leaks and the people missing, and there's some unnatural stuff going on over there, I would imagine.
And this question just came in. It says, do zombies go in search of food only at night? Why does there always seem to be a night thing with zombies? Why don't they come out in the daytime, show themselves?
Because they're nocturnal feeders. They can hunt the best at night. Humans have their guard down at night. They go out during the day, too. But evidence has shown that statistically, they feed better at night.
Okay. All right, John. Well, we're coming to the end of the interview. Anything you'd like to say about your website, you go right ahead.
Just johnaustinbooks.com. Check it out. It shows a lot of the illustrations from the books. All these books are just filled with illustrations because I do have a background in toy design, and I kind of brought a lot of those talents to these books. So if you don't want to read it, you can just look at it. I mean, it's great that way. But there's some examples on there and some free stuff. And, just check it out.
Okay, I know there's a lot of pictures in there, but there's no nudie pictures of zombies, are they?
No, there's no naked pictures of zombies.
Okay, I know you like to draw, so I didn't know.
Sorry.
We gotta watch these things.
Yeah.
All right, John Austin.
There's charts and graphs, and, there's tons of stuff in there, so...
Okay, and that's
a lot of content.
It's johnaustinbooks.com?
Yep, johnaustinbooks.com.
Okay. All right, John, appreciate you coming on the Edge broadcast.
Yeah, Daniel, I appreciate it, too. It was an awesome interview. So thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Okie doke. We'll talk again.
Yeah, great time. Yep, later.
All right, everybody, that was John Austin talking about the zombies. If you've been attacked by a zombie or if you are a zombie, then, I guess we did have to walk a fine line here. I know a lot of you out there are still human and have not been turned into zombies. So, we really didn't want to take sides here between the dead and the undead. I think we did a pretty good job there walking that line if we had to, because if you offend a zombie, they're coming at you, and we don't want that to happen.
You've been listening to The Edge with Daniel Ott. To subscribe to The Edge newsletter, log on to theedgeam.com. That's theedgeam.com, where you can find out about our guests and topics discussed on the air. The Edge has been brought to you by EBN, the Edge Broadcasting Network, providing affordable live web streaming to the world. Visit EBN at ebnlive.net. That's ebnlive.net. Until next week, for the Edge Broadcast, I'm Chris Moore. See you on the Edge.